Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Happy Sunday. This is Carl Nordgren, and you're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on the best radio station in the state, WCHL The Hill 97.9. This show takes an all-inclusive view of what it means to be creative, what it means to be entrepreneurial. I want to give you as many different perspectives, as many different insights as to what it means to be those things, creative and entrepreneurial, so that you can construct your own understanding, so you can build your own toolbox of creative ideas, concepts, entrepreneurial behaviors. They're going to serve you best. And this show has been making the case that nothing is more important for you than doing this. Right here and now, business leaders are unanimous in their certainty that no employee qualities, no leadership qualities are more important for business right now than being creative. So that's one reason why I promote this to you all. Another, and one that I'm spending a lot of time with most recently, is that we're all looking at a future of unknowable unknowns. Nobody has any idea what's going to happen in a world of constant change like we live in, a world where there'll be more fierce disruptions like the one that we just went through, except the next one won't be anything like the one that we just went through. And there are going to be unimaginable opportunities, unimaginable technology breakthroughs, each one that's going to spawn all kinds of opportunity for us to do things better. So in the show, we talk about the creative and entrepreneurial qualities and behaviors needed to prepare for the future. Let's talk a little bit about the change itself, about transitions, what they feel like, what happens, what does it feel like when you're engaged in a transition, right? What does that feel like? How can we prepare ourselves for the transition itself? Keep in mind that any specific future outcomes are impossible to predict. Futurists, professional futurists that I know, I love their humility when they say that when they share a 5-year or a 10-year projection with a client, they will always add the qualification that their most likely scenario isn't very likely. So with that being so, let's see what we can do. Let's get a feel for what it's like to be changing, what it feel for what transitions and transformations feel like generally, what it's like to go on a journey into the unknown with the goal, this show's goal, is to help you find new insights into attending to change. Now, I didn't say manage change, so let's start there. Let's start there. What's the approach that you want to take attending to change? There's a strong tradition of command and control as a management or leadership style in our country. The military certainly benefits from this command and control where you demand a prescribed outcome and insist on particular behaviors. It's how the military runs itself. Many, many corporations are not too far from that command and control demand on outcomes, certain outcomes. Well, in the future, folks, it's less about certainty. It's more about possibility. It's more about possibility. And so as somebody who spent time with a bunch of barnyard animals, I learned a different management style, a different leadership style that is called climate control. Climate control is, first of all, the appreciation that you can't demand an outcome, right? You have to start with that understanding. And then you do identify the factors that you can control, or at least strongly influence, that you can influence certain factors in such a way that it will make your preferred outcome more likely. Still not certain, right? But at least more likely, right? So control the factors, control the elements that you can control, influence as many as you can with an understanding that you can't insist, but you can cajole, you can urge, you can seduce, you can attract the direction that you want the change to go. Now, change, of course, is mostly incremental, or it has been up until now in our nation. It's been mostly incremental. You know, these slow transitions towards becoming something else, slowly, incrementally progressing towards something else. And change can be transformative. It can be transformative suddenly because it's you, you're driving it, right? You're intentional about it, and you're going to drive this sudden transformation, perhaps in yourself. And enough incremental change in this transition mode, right? This more incremental, slow transition mode, enough changes that can also be transformative, right? 100 victories every day can result in major changes. A picture of transition, right? Maybe a good, useful picture of transition is a frog the frog as the outcome of a tadpole's incremental transition, right? So we see the tadpole. It's easy to follow. It's easy to follow this incremental transition that ultimately is very transformative, right? There's nothing like about a tadpole like a frog. Tadpoles are vegetarian. Frogs eat animal protein. And that's just one change in their digestive system, right? There's significant change. A transformation occurs in this slow incremental transition. You can follow each step. I love following each step of a tadpole becoming a frog and how the legs slowly emerge in the hind legs first. And it's just so fun to watch this happen over time. Then there's a transition from a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's a more radical transition, right? I mean, there's no elements of that caterpillar left when the butterfly finally emerges from its chrysalis. So sometimes change is incremental transition. Sometimes those incremental transitions taken all together can be transformative, or there can be a sudden transformative change. Well, this change occurs in what many folks call liminal space. Liminal space. That's the space of uncertainty where you're transitioning from where you've been to where you're going. That transition can be physical. You can be moving yourself from where you've been to where you're going actually. It can be an emotional liminal space, right? You were married, now you're divorced. You're in this liminal emotional state until you reconcile fully yourself with the fact that you're now divorced. It could be a metaphorical change that you're going through. It can be spiritual, right? So liminal space is that space in between, that space that says you've left something behind and you're on the verge of what's next. And let's talk more about that when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. And thank you for coming back. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius. This show, we are talking about changes and transitions and transformations, acknowledging that we are living into a future that is just as unpredictable as it could possibly be, but we can get a feel for what change is like, right? Get a sense of how it feels to be moving in a transition from one state to another. When I concluded the last segment, I mentioned the word verge, right? That you've left behind what you were and you're on the verge of what's next. That's sort of a liminal space introduction. And I always use the word verge in the way that I'm using it right here and now. I had no idea for a long, long, long time that it had an additional meaning. Verge does. Maybe you know it. I didn't know it until I lived in Ireland for a year just before the turn of this century and learned that they use the word verge as that grassy strip between the country road and the lovely rock wall on the other side of the grassy strip. That's the verge, and you'll often find sheep and cattle grazing the verge, or as the Irish would say, grazing the long acre. So the word liminal, we were talking about liminal space, the uncertain, that space where you're in between, right? You're leaving what you were, you're going towards what you will be. That's physical, that's emotional, that's spiritual. And so the word liminal comes from the Latin word limen. And the Latin word limen means threshold. And you can see immediately, right? That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about thresholds. And threshold is an interesting word, I believe. I find it quite interesting. There's an old English root for threshold that actually has contradictions in it. There's a commonality, but there's also some contradictions. The threshold in Old English was that strip of wood across the bottom of the door jamb, of the door opening, that strip of wood, that would hold the thresh. And the thresh is the leavings, right? The stalks and the leaves after you've shucked the grain, after you've removed the grain from the plant, the leavings are the thresh. And in Old English cottages, they use that thresh to cover the floor, right, as a floor covering. And therefore, the threshold kept the thresh inside the cottage. There's others who agree that, in fact, threshold is all about holding thresh in place, but they believe that, in fact, the threshing took place outside of the cottage, right outside the door, and so the threshold was there to keep the thresh from coming in to the cottage. There's also a German influence on the word threshold, and that is that thresh in German means tread, right, to walk, to step. So where we can, we should celebrate, commemorate these transitions. Where we can, we should celebrate and mark these transitions, that someone is leaving something behind and heading into another life. We should be acknowledging those important transitions. Boy, one of the costs of COVID for our country was that so many eighth graders and so many seniors didn't get the chance, right, to have their transitions celebrated. They didn't have their wonderful graduation exercises for a couple of years there before because of COVID. And it's so important that we commemorate that once upon a time you were X, but now you're Y. That needs to be acknowledged by a culture. I'm going to tell you a story about my wife and her school as just a perfect picture of commemorating, celebrating, marking these transitions. She had at our house for almost 20 years a preschool for Waldorf kids, right? For kids that were going to go on to Waldorf school. Most of them did, not all of them did. She had a Waldorf-inspired preschool for them called the Children's Garden. It began out on our 6 acres that I've talked to you about when I've talked to you about all the animals that we had. But then we moved into town and bought a house specifically for the Children's Garden. And here's what would happen. If one was a 5 or 6 year old child being driven to the school in the morning by mom and dad, right? So they park across the driveway, along the driveway, picture a slope where they're parking and it slopes on down, right? They're going to be moving down into this world that we're talking about. They park up in some trees across the driveway. I can picture mom or dad holding Junior's hand as they walk down a big flagstone path that's heading after about maybe 15 yards, 10 yards to a brick wall. And that brick wall has an opening, of course, a gate. And that opening is arched by a beautiful arch that over the years had just been totally covered with ivy. So on the road side of this arch, that's who this child is, right? A young child, the child of their parent. They're reminded of that. They just drove to the school on the back of the parent's car. They're holding their parents' hands. They're walking towards this arch opening, and there Miss Marie, my wife, Miss Marie is standing, and she's there waiting. and she's there waiting. And when the child approaches at the arch, at the doorway, she gently pats them on the back. She looks them in the eye and says, good morning. And then they transition through into the children's garden, where they go from being a child of their parents and they go to become a child of the garden, right? Their own creative self on the other side, on the other side. They've transitioned from one place to another place, and they know they have, right? It's been marked for them so they can fully embrace this new place that they're going. There's no ambiguity that they're now in a new place. They are in a place that is radically different from where they were just a few moments ago. And that awakens them into this new person that they're going to be, right? These wonderful transitions. Western architecture has long relied, hasn't it, on arch doorways to signify that you are outside of this edifice. But boy, you go through these arch doorways and you're in a whole different world when you're on the other side. Now, are you on the other side? Are you going through this liminal space because you are running from something? Or is it because you're running towards something? Good insight for you to have of what's going on with your life, right? Are you running away from something? That's why you want to change. Or are you running towards something? That's why you want to change. And we'll talk more about how you go through that change when you come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is the last segment of our show, Exploring Your Creative Genius. The first two segments I was giving you my thoughts about sharing with you my thoughts about what it feels like to be going through change and transition and what that looks like and different metaphors for it so that you can begin to get your own feel for what it's like to leave what you once were and go to where you're going to be. So here's some creative qualities that will help you managing these liminal spaces, these transitions. First of all, be humble, right? I think we all need a humble mind as we prepare for the future. I'll say it again. None of us has any idea what the future is going to be like. There's something scary about that for sure. There's also something exhilarating about that because that future that we have no idea what it's going to be like is going to be filled with new opportunities. So in all these changes that are going to be taking place, all these disruptions, all this emergence that's going to be taking place, being humble, right? To acknowledge that you don't know. You don't know. You can't be certain about what's happening. So to take a humble approach is to be open to new understandings of what is happening, to be taught about what's going to happen. I think another really useful creative quality is to be generous. Right, to be generous with the new ideas that you're bumping into. Really try them on, right? Try to make the best case for what's happening. Doesn't mean you have to finally embrace it, but you'll understand what's happening so much better if instead of rejecting what you don't like about what's going on, you spend a moment trying to just bring a most generous appreciation that you possibly can to what's going on. To learn more about what's going on, right? If you just reject the change, you ain't going to learn a thing about what's going on, right? But to genuinely and generously embrace these transitions is to give you the opportunity with your humble mind to really understand what is going on. Another way to help what you understand what's going on is to take multiple perspectives. Right, to take multiple perspectives. Don't think that having taken one view about what's going on around you, you now understand. Right? You want to have a really good perspective, take lots of perspectives. And so that's an important part of your creative toolkit as you're preparing for a future of unknowable unknowns that's on us right now. A bias for action. right? A bias for action of incremental nature, right? Just take that first small step. You're not sure what's happening. Instead of sitting back, just take a step out there and participate, right? Just take a step out there and bump into. Just take a step out there and meet, because you're going to become so much smarter about what's happening if you're moving into these changes and living with these changes and trying to get a good feel for yourself of these changes. Another useful creative quality in all these changes is narrative, storytelling, right? It's a climate, it's a really good climate control strategy, right? Is to provide a story about what's happening that is the very best story, the very best outcome, right? That supports the directions and the changes and the growth that we are hoping for. Let's tell the story about what we are hoping for. Often that will make it more likely that what we're hoping for will occur. So, folks, I'm going to close with what? Is this a promotion of? I was born in Mississippi in 1951. I was sort of a ping pong ball between Illinois and Mississippi into my early teenage years. The first summer I was not allowed to go back to Greenville, Mississippi, was the summer of 1964, the Freedom School summer. And I have always been a interested amateur historian about what went on in the 60s down there in Mississippi and Alabama with the buses of folks coming down to register voters and folks coming down to establish freedom schools for the underprivileged children of Mississippi, the black children of Mississippi. Well, I did not know, and I just found out fairly recently that the Freedom Schools still exist. I'm going to be participating as a volunteer with a Freedom School this summer, the Durham Freedom School. I'm going to be doing some reading for the very young kids. I'm going to be doing some creativity workshops for the 7th and 8th grade kids. So I want to do a shout out for the Freedom School and see if maybe somebody who's listening might want to support them, participate in them, learn about them. This is called the Durham Freedom School. I'm not sure exactly what their full market is. I think it's associated with the Durham Public Schools. So I hope you all are going to have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Thanks so very much for listening to the show, and I hope you come back next week.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.